Hello, Thunder Poppers. We wanted to turn a recent interview from a recent episode into a standalone Thunder Pop Extra. Those of you that listened to the very recent episode number 36 of the Thunder Pop podcast know that we did an episode about CGI. Is CGI the future of acting? And in that episode, we interviewed Yngwie Dellia. We wanted to turn that interview into just a standalone Thunder Pop Extra. For people that have never listened to the podcast and might be like, do I want to listen to a whole like episode of these guys? Can I trust them? Are they going to suck? I mean, do I want to even give them any of my time? But they want to, hey, I kind of want to listen to that interview, though, with Yngwie Dellia from Star Wars Rogue One. I kind of want to listen to that interview, but I don't know if I want to listen to the whole episode of Thunder Pop. So if you're kind of new and you're kind of unsure about us, you can listen to the interview by itself. We made it a standalone Thunder Pop Extra. So that's what this is. Ladies and gentlemen, it is our pleasure to bring you a huge star in the Star Wars world. She played the young Princess Leia in Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Ladies and gentlemen, Yngwie Dellia.
Hello.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I've heard worse.
Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to practice afterwards, and we're going to say it like 20 times the right way, and then we'll edit in the one that turned out the closest.
Super.
Well, we're really excited to have you here. I think it's afternoon where you're at. You're 5 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah, quarter past 4.
Yeah.
On a sunny spring day.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Not so sunny today.
We're pretty overcast, and we're Texas, so we're supposed to be the place with sunshine. Ironically, you're in London?
Yeah.
So ironically, Texas is a place known for sunshine. London is the place known for being cloudy, but we've kind of traded places today. Yeah. So I think somehow we're going to be eating fish and chips today, and she's going to be the one eating breakfast tacos and barbecue.
Yeah.
So it's going to be kind of an alternate universe.
All Tex-Mex style.
Yeah, have you ever had Tex-Mex?
I didn't think I've had the real Tex-Mex, no.
Yeah. Did you have some version maybe that you could get in England? Or I know you're in California, so you've been out
Yeah.
Here.
No, I think I've had, because I've had Mexican food, and I've had sort of American food, but then Tex-Mex is quite specific, isn't it? So
yeah.
I don't think I've had the pleasure. I guess I need just to come to Texas to try it, I guess.
Well, you already know a lot more about Texas cuisine just from talking to you for a few seconds than I would know about food in Norway. So we're already, and you're actually originally from Norway. You're Norwegian.
Yeah.
You moved to England for school.
Yes. I moved here to finish up my studies and do and continue my studies.
Yeah. So you were studying in Norway, and then you went to England for an MA in media for development, and I had to read this just because I wouldn't have been able to remember it all. MA in media for development and social change. That's what
yes.
You went. So you were there.
A very pretentious title.
it sounds pretty important. Yeah. So what were your aspirations when you went to continue and you went to England to study in that plan?
Yeah. Well, so I did philosophy for my BA, my bachelor's, and then I wanted to pair it up with something that's a bit more tangible that I could get work from. So I thought, media and global studies could work, and then I could go into NGO and sort of charities and do the film bit for charities. So that's what I did, Save the Children, or did an internship and then a bit of freelance. But then I got roped into a film, and this became an actor with time over time, which I did not see. I didn't see that one coming, so I'm still a bit surprised to call myself an actor. But yeah.
And just think, Yngwie, you know how the roads can sometimes you can take the right or take the left when you're at the kind of the crossroads. It could have just easily been someone that had. So, hey, our keyboardist is sick, and we need a keyboardist for our band. Could you come and just hit some keys for us tonight? And you could have, next thing you know, you would have been pursuing a musical career. We might have been interviewing you on a music podcast at that point. So, but movies instead, you were, like you said, it's always roped in at first. Like if you got other things you're working on, you're in school, and they ask you, hey, come and do this film. But so the acting bug hit you pretty quick?
Yeah, it did. So I did a bit of like theater. When I was a teenager, I never considered it to be like a career or profession. But yeah, getting a chance to act again later on, I realized how much I enjoyed it. So yeah, I sort of slowly did more and more acting and less mm-hmm. and less work for Save the Children. And then, yeah, I decided to just follow that road and see where it would take me, which I'm still on that road, just taking it as it comes.
It's an ongoing journey. It's a journey that continues and never stops. I mean, I'm still, like, even someone like Susan Sarandon that's been doing it for decades, mm-hmm. it's still, I mean, there's things she's still learning, and it's still a journey.
Where were you? Like, what were you doing? How did you feel when you found out that this role was in a Star Wars movie, that you were playing Princess Leia? It's kind of that moment. I had heard you didn't know what you were auditioning for. Anything. Like, where were you? What were you doing? Like, how did you feel?
Well, this is going to be a really boring answer. I was probably putting up my laundry or doing the dishes.
Okay, well, make something up. I'm gonna swoop in here and be your faux business manager. We're gonna come up with you were hiking the Appalachia Mountains and your phone rings and you didn't know whether to answer because it was kind of unsafe at the time. You didn't know whether you could reach for your no. Just you got it. You got it.
Another normal day. Yeah. You know, it was just a very, very everyday moment. And then she called me and I think she just said, "It is on." And then I realized, like, yeah, okay. She didn't need to say anything else. She could have just hung up and I would have started my silly chicken right there. But yeah, it was great.
It's kind of like a chicken dance, right? I like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's a dance of victory. It's a celebration dance for sure.
Yes.
Now we are so happy, we do the dance of joy! Hey!
Die, 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 die. Yeah, it had to be really exciting. And then after that, I mean, getting big news like that, the rest of your day, you're kind of on an adrenaline rush, right?
Yeah, it's a very nice feeling.
During that the period of time, so now moving ahead, during the period of time that you were cast, and then the day you got the call to go, and then you go, and there's the periods of months, you film. I know you made the trip to California, and then you had another trip to another place, right, for the actual fitting of costumes and kind of getting all that figured out. And then from that time to the time that Rogue One comes out, and you could actually talk about it, because it was a big secret. I mean, that was like the biggest secret in movie TV history since, like, Who Shot JR? And I know that's kind of, I'm kind of aging myself a little bit with the Who Shot JR reference, but I mean, I know he was really big in England. Dallas was really big in England, so maybe you've heard about him talking about.
I remember watching Dallas when I was younger, actually, just briefly. It was on Norwegian television as well.
Yeah, it's a big show globally. Yeah, it was. But anyway, like Star Wars, it was really big globally. So you have all that time. Like, how many months are we talking about that you had to, like, you couldn't
talk
about?
It was a year and a half.
Wow. Did you have to just kind of forget about it? Because that seemed like that would just be really hard to keep locked in.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't too bad keeping it a secret because I had a bit of practice from Avengers, Age of Ultron. Then I also had to keep that a secret. Not for as long, but yeah, that was sort of a good warm-up. But, I mean, it wasn't too bad keeping it a secret, except for when I went to castings and wanted to tell the casting director what I had lined up to sort of up my chances and make me stand out. And mm-hmm. so that was really frustrating. Mm-hmm. But I can tell them now, so it's all good.
You can talk about it. It's out to them. Did you have to keep quiet about Age of Ultron also?
Yeah, I had to. They do like to keep it all under wraps as long as they can, just not to get any spoilers out before the film comes out. So
Certainly. And I mean, how the world's changed from the days in the 70s when George Lucas was making the original Star Wars, and now, like, with the internet and the TMZs and all of that, things can easily, just one little, like, blurb somewhere, and it's everywhere.
Yeah.
So you're in Belfast. You were shooting a music video on the day your agent called you. They just said, "We have a really big film audition for you." Okay.
Yeah.
We couldn't tell you at that point it was Star Wars. But you were like, you know, I have a wedding on that day. The day they said it has to be on this day. Like, the audition, it's a big film, but it's on this day. And you had a wedding to go to, so you had to miss the wedding. I'm curious. It was a friend of yours. Did you still have to buy him a wedding present since you didn't go to the wedding? It's more of an etiquette question for myself. So if I ever have to take off and can't make to a wedding, do I still get the gift?
I think I had already decided on, like, I think I've already sent them the money or something, so it was already taken care of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that was fine. I just had to miss the wedding. But they were very understanding when they found out.
I'm sure they were very, very understanding, especially once they ultimately found out what had had transpired. You were I was Princess Leia. I got to be Princess Leia.
That's a valid excuse.
Yeah, it's a pretty valid excuse.
While working on the project, how much did you actually get to work with Gareth Edwards? Tell us a little bit about your time with him. Like, what was he like? Did you work with him much?
Yeah, very sweet human being. He's very grounded. No prima donna factors going on there. He's very sort of just a regular guy who cares greatly for film and VFX. And yeah, he knows his stuff so well. And he was just amazingly generous and kind and supportive on set. So yeah, I felt very lucky to be working with him.
Okay, now that you've worked with Gareth, you worked with Gareth Edwards, you worked with two of Hollywood's biggest directors already in a young career. You worked with Gareth Edwards and Joss Whedon, of course, as we all know. And many might not have even known about your work on Age of Ultron. So go back and look at Age of Ultron. You're in that scene. It's in Stark Enterprises, I guess, mm-hmm. It would be, with Robert Downey Jr. And you were, I guess, a lab tech was your role?
Kind of a technician. Mm-hmm. Yeah, helping out on the World Tech Hub thingy.
Yeah, the Hub Tech thingy. I think that's what they call it, too. When you look it up, specifically, it's called Stark's Hub Tech thingy. I saw in another interview, you think you were cast mainly because they were wanting a Norwegian lady for that role. Is that correct?
Yeah. Because I just started acting when I got the role. I was just probably 5 or 6 months in my acting career, or sort of having made that decision to give it a shot. So I was completely baffled that I sort of stumbled into this project. And also they were being very secretive, so I didn't know that I was auditioning for that film.
Same thing,
which was probably good, because otherwise I would have been too nervous.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, definitely. It's almost better not knowing. When I was pounding the pavement acting, I think I did an America's Most Wanted about 5 or 6 months in, which is like a Crime Stoppers kind of show reenactment. And
yeah.
I didn't have to keep it a secret or anything, but I had a good, about 6 months where I had to, my house seized by the cops because someone called me in thinking I was the actual person that was wanted rather than the actual person. So it's a much better situation to have to just be secretive about what you worked on for a while than...
especially on a crime show and you're playing the bad guy.
Yeah, you gotta be careful. So on that project, working with Gareth Edwards, working with Joss Whedon, kind of getting back to the question, how would you compare and contrast the two styles of working with the two directors?
Well, they're both really friendly and have a very sort of nice vibe around them on set, not sort of the dictator style of directing, more sort of friendly, warm, funny way of just being relaxed and easygoing, but also that they have a very clear vision of what they want. I didn't work for them with them extensively. It was just two brief scenes, but yeah, what I saw was really good.
Did you have any directors you work with so far? You don't have to name any names that were the more dictator-like?
Yeah, I've had all sorts of experiences. But most of them has been good. I mean, 98% of the people you meet are hardworking and good people. But there's always going to be the oddball that has, maybe out of inexperience, haven't really found a good sort of work style. Or they're just not cut out for it. It's a very sort of, specific skill set I think you need to be a good director.
You had that scene in Age of Ultron. We talked about that with Robert Downey Jr. You got any inside baseball working with Robert?
he was a really nice guy. And because this was my first sort of big, being on a big studio set, I was quite nervous. I remember I almost threw up in the car on my way there. But then once I got on set, I felt fine because everyone was so warm and friendly. Mm-hmm. And then I remember Robert Downey Jr., he's got a stand-in, that like a double, and they're quite similar. And I'd never, of course, met Robert Downey Jr. in person. So for a fraction of a second, I was like, am I talking to Robert Downey Jr.? Or, like, but then it dawned on me, no, it's just his double. But that was sort of like a nice sort of introduction into meeting the actual Robert. So I think all my nerves disappeared, and then I was really chilled when Robert Downey Jr. came on set. And he's just amazing, like, so friendly and funny, and made me feel at ease. Yeah.
He was here when the first Iron Man came out. He came over here.
Second one. Yeah, I was at that premiere.
You went to
him
that.
And him mm-hmm. and Jon Favreau.
Mm.
Afterwards, him and Jon Favreau go to the highball. Were you there?
Yeah. And Jon Favreau DJ'd, bought everybody drinks.
Yes, it was
and then
great.
Robert did karaoke.
Mm-hmm.
And he put it in this sense, he was wearing a all plaid suit,
yeah.
sunglasses, and then stormtrooper high top tennis shoes.
Amazing.
On fleek.
Mm.
Yeah. I like it. They both seem like really great guys. Did you see Favreau in The Chef?
Yes. Yeah, I like that film.
I have a friend who quit his job. This is what movies can do. This is what you have the honor of being able to inspire people through what you do as an actress. But I have a friend who was working for a restaurant, kind of a chain, a small restaurant chain, but kind of was getting into a rut. He saw The Chef. It inspired him so much, he quit his job. He's opening a restaurant now. He's following his dreams of becoming like a restaurant owner. And he said, when I saw the movie, I knew that was me. Like, that was me. And he's crying. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm tearing up. And he's not a real touchy-feely guy. So it's quite amazing what you get to do as an actress and be able to tell these stories and how they can inspire people, change people.
Yeah. I mean, that's the dream, isn't it? To mm-hmm. not just entertain, but also make people think and sort of get a greater understanding of what it's like to be a human and the choices that you have, and yeah, that you can change your life if you want to. That's great. Mm-hmm. Especially coming from like a charity background, I felt quite bad about leaving it for sort of what could be a sort of more superficial pursuit, but it all depends what you make of it. I feel like film is a tool like anything else. You can use it for good or bad.
Were there any scenes that you filmed or they were even discussing filming with you as a young Princess Leia that either didn't make it in the film or never got shot, but kind of were talked about it a little bit?
I'm not sure if I'm at liberty to discuss that.
sure, we understand. We knew that was one that was going to be possible.
Yeah,
kind of tipping the scales.
Afraid, yeah, I don't know what the brief is on that one, so I'll just have to.
Totally understand. Now, Carrie Fisher, the late, great Carrie Fisher, she once made a hilarious reference.
Yeah.
She was roasting George Lucas at a George Lucas tribute. She made these hilarious jokes about having different Princess Leia's toys and merchandise around the house. Do you have any Princess Leia merch at the moment around the house?
No, I don't. It's not like a conscious choice or anything. It's just I don't have any merch. Well, I do own a Star Wars t-shirt, but that's it.
We have a few at the around. I got my
I should expand my collection. Well, if it's one piece, it's not a collection. But I should get some more. I'm sure I will by the end of the year.
I had a gentleman, he's from New Zealand, and he recorded our theme song for our podcast. A really nice guy. And I wrote and collaborated, and we did a song. It was a Star Wars parody song that we did. And he pronounces, and so he lives in England now, like yourself, from New Zealand, lives in the UK. He pronounces, in the Star Wars song he recorded for me, he pronounces Princess Leia, Princess Leia. And I remember that was something the guys here joked about.
Yep.
Star Wars is so galactic, Han Solo charismatic, makes me kind of asthmatic. If Anakin had studied his mathematic, maybe he wouldn't have spasmatic. The Force, of course, is wide awake, baby, and Princess Leia is the universe's hottest girl.
Is that a more of a natural pronunciation for Princess Leia, accent? For English or even New Zealand accent?
I don't know. I mean, I say Princess Leia, but that's how I roll. I don't know what other people do. I don't know. What is there like a debate around how to pronounce her name correctly?
I don't know if it was a huge debate, but
I don't think so.
But with the Texas guys, it became a huge... Because we want to pronounce it...
Princess Leia.
Princess Leia. That would be Francis. Can you do a Texas accent? I'm curious. You might get cast. Somebody might want to audition you to play.
Well, I don't know. Do I sound like a Texan?
Let's go have some barbecue.
Let's go have some barbecue.
She actually sounds more Texan than a coworker that just moved from Boston.
So you're already closer than somebody that's here on this side of the pond to a Texas accent.
Oh, wow.
So
you have to teach me how it's done then. With a bit of practice, maybe.
I think you get there with some practice. I think you're already making some strides. Did you watch Carrie Fisher footage from the original Star Wars to be able to mimic her walk and movement?
Yeah, it's like the biggest chunk of my preparation because they sent me two scenes from A New Hope when you meet Vader for the first time and also the hologram monologue. So I just watched those two scenes again and again and again for a whole weekend, and also all of the original Star Wars films, and did nothing but just observe her. And also I went through all the interviews she did in the 70s and 80s just to sort of get a feel of how she comes across, and even just down to how she moved her head and where her eyes were. And so it was a huge challenge, but also a really interesting one, because usually when you prepare for a role, it's all about your interpretation of the role. But here I sort of had to let go of me and just sort of try and emulate her as much as I could. So, yeah, that was fun and difficult at the same time.
Awesome. Yeah, and you even said that you're ready if they want you for it. They want to do a Princess Leia standalone. You're ready to be dialed up for it.
I mean, yeah, it would be very, very scary, but also something that you couldn't really turn down if they asked.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you already been getting invites to the Comic-Cons and this kind of the nerd type conventions?
Yeah. There's quite a few Comic-Cons lined up this year. I don't think I can sort of... They need to announce me first, so I don't think I can tell which ones I'm going to yet, but I will make appearances this year.
Very awesome. Okay. Great.
Around the world.
So look for that at someplace near you very soon.
So do you have any guilty pleasures you might want to tell any listeners, whether it be some sort of food item that may not necessarily be the best, or certain type of movie? You like 90s rom-coms or something like that? I don't know. Anything, really.
For me, it's boy bands. That's a guilty pleasure that would not normally admit. So I'm opening up myself a little bit here that I do like some 90s.
Like Backstreet Boys?
Backstreet Boys, NSYNC. I love the Backstreet Boys, and I love NSYNC. So I'm going to go ahead and get that out there.
I don't know. I guess we're all sort of strange in our own ways. I don't know if I like any strange films. I mean, I have been watching a lot of Jim Jarmusch, you know, the director?
Yes.
He just did a film with Adam Driver called Patterson, which I haven't watched, but I'm going to watch it. But I've been watching some of his old stuff with... like Tom Waits, like Down by Law and Mystery Train and those kinds of films. And I really like them. But I don't know if that's a guilty pleasure. and I don't know, food-wise, I do like... This is maybe a bit odd. I've been having like this strange breakfast thing that I've been doing now, because I discovered that having just frozen blueberries on peanut butter, like if you have a toast and then you put peanut butter on and then frozen blueberries, they sort of melt. And it's really nice.
Try that, yes.
I like to put peanut butter on random things. Like, I'll eat bacon and put peanut butter on bacon, which I know most people would think. And then added to that, syrup that you normally would put on pancakes.
Whoa.
I would say ranch dressing. You put ranch dressing on, like, everything.
That sounds like you're, like, on the way to doing, like, an Elvis. He had, like, a crazy... crazy sandwich going on with a lot of peanut butter and banana and whatnot.
I think you might be right. I think it might be the last name, Presley. It may be sort of starting to creep into my food choices, too. Did you go to the premiere for Rogue One, or did you go to any of the premieres?
Yeah. So I went to the London one. I wish I was in the LA one, because they had an X-Wing. I mean...
Oh, man. Let's take a picture with the X-Wing if you had been there.
Yeah. But we had stormtroopers as well, so that was nice. Okay, and it was a really, lovely party. I really enjoyed it. It was great.
Everybody there? Felicity Jones? Garrett?
Yeah, I think pretty much everyone was there.
You're there, but you were, kind of just now people were starting to find out about the Princess Leia surprise. I don't even know if maybe it was possible some people that were even in the movie, like some of the lead actors, maybe they even kept that a secret from them. I don't know.
At least some of them knew, because I spoke to Mats Mikkelsen, and we can speak our secret language, because he speaks Danish, or he's Danish, and I'm Norwegian, so we understand each other. Mm-hmm. But he said to me, like, oh, yeah, you're Princess Leia. So he knew, but I don't know if anyone else knew.
Wow. So you were, people were probably, were there people coming up, and, like, they didn't know who you, they didn't know who you were, right? Because you had not done, you're not been yeah. on interviews yet, because it had not was you couldn't really do that beforehand.
Yeah, I remember some of the people like thought I was joking because someone introduced me to. Oh yeah, and by the way, this is Princess Leia. I was like, yeah, right. Yeah. And then I went, no, she is.
You would have had to literally just walk around in your costume with the Princess Leia buns on. For like, say, look, here, look.
Yeah. See the similarity? Just imagine brunette.
That's why we wore these headphones, too, is to sort of representing the Princess Leia buns a little bit.
Yeah.
Today. Quick thing I want to do is game I came up with, and it could just totally just blow, and or it could be a lot of fun. It's called Norwegian or Texan. You're from Norway, which, mm-hmm. by the way, is one of the most sparsely populated places in the world. Which I think is great.
Almost like Alaska.
Yeah, I think it's great. I would not know what that... We live in Austin, that's like one of the fastest growing places in the world. And and so we're constantly elbowing you.
We're trying to distance ourselves from all the people moving here.
Yeah, and traffic. You're sitting there and you kind of like you can't move. It was a game. See if I can find some things that might be sort of could have been Norwegian or it could have been Texan. See, I think it's going to be a blast or it's going to be the worst thing ever. We'll see.
We'll find out.
Okay, this one I think is I'll start with one I think this is an easy one. Which place ranks first on the World Happiness Report? All right.
I think that's
Norway?
Yeah.
We have it. Yep.
Just because I read an article the other day about it. I'm sure Texans are really happy as well, but yeah.
Yeah, we're happy in our own way, right.
We have a specific way of being happy.
Yeah, we have our own specific way. But, I mean, everybody finds their happiness in different ways. I mean, Norway, is it the place to go if I want to find the ultimate level? I mean, is it happy? Everybody's happy. You're a happy person, so I kind of buy into it.
I mean, as you say, it depends what makes you happy. If you want a lot of space and beautiful nature... a lot of fish and friendly food, friendly people. then yeah, I guess so. But it might not suit everyone if they don't like expensive alcohol and too much silence. You know, that could scare them.
I know I have friends who love expensive alcohol and too much silence, so it could be right.
I know a few people.
Yeah, I know some people I could tell you about. All right, in 1993, a siege ended. With a raid, which resulted in the tragic death of 83 cult followers and their leader. It was men, women, and children. Was this Norwegian or Texas?
Ooh, I don't know. This sounds like something that happened in Sweden, but I don't know if it happened in Norway, so I'll go with Texas.
You got it. It was you knew what I was talking about, didn't you? Yeah, Johnny knows something. The Waco
incident.
Yeah. Compound in 1993 that was sieged. We've talked about that on the show before too. All right, which place had the battle? This is, and I know no battle is a good battle, but this had the coolest name for a battle. Which place had the Battle of Sound?
The Battle of Sound.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. Well, let's go with Norway again then.
You got it. We're at 100%.
Oh, wow.
Wow. We have to come up with a prize. I didn't even come up with a prize for this. I'm sorry. It's just bragging rights if you get 100%. Okay. All right. Here's one. Oh, and you know the Battle of Sound? I think I was trying to figure out. I wouldn't have even known about the Battle of Sound if I had not had Wikipedia. So I looked that up. And I imagine the Battle of Sound is probably like two guys in trench coats holding up a boombox. Like John Cusack, and
say anything,
and who can turn up the boombox the loudest to woo the girl. Okay, another one, interesting one from history. Which one, Norway or Texas, was governed by a man that infamously held a press conference aboard a plane while in the nude? Norwegian or Texan?
I'm guessing Texan on this one.
Yes! Man! Because that one might have tricked me a little bit if I had not known the answer. It was Lyndon Baines Johnson, and he had some kind of a rep of being sort of rogue sometimes. No pun intended, but pun certainly, yes. Pun certainly made. But he had kind of a reputation for being sort of
taking conference calls in the restroom, things like that.
Yeah, he took conference calls while on the toilet. Taking care of things, yeah.
So very busy man. He was just very busy all the time.
Very busy man, yeah. Okay, I got one more. I kind of just drummed this up because there's a huge history in pop music for both Texan and Norwegian.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that we're both very aware of. So, a band, very prominent 80s band, shoot a music video. It's very cartoonish, using an armadillo as their mascot all throughout the video. Is this Texan or Norwegian?
Ooh, that's a tricky one. Because when you first said that, I was thinking of Aha and Take On Me, because it's very cartoonish. But then it's like, armadillo? Is there an armadillo? And I was like, no, I can't remember. So then maybe I should just go for Texas.
Yes! Because it might be yep. Yes! You got it. It's The Clash, Rock the Casbah, from the early 80s. I actually had a friend who was a consultant for the director on that film, has been on the show before. But yes, Rock the Casbah, you can look it up on YouTube. It's got an armadillo. It was filmed in Austin. I think they shot it in a day, a span of a day. They did the whole shoot. But I tricked you. I was trying to trick you by putting the word cartoonish in there, because one of the most famous videos ever made is Aha, Take On Me, and it's iconic. And that song is everywhere still to this day. It's in movies and television, and it's one of the most amazing songs. It was just a beautiful pop song. Okay, I was going to ask you about this, too. You're from Norway, sparsely populated. So, you know, I was just in New Orleans, which is also a sparsely populated city in the U.S. There's a lot of tourists there. But I've never been to New Orleans. I'm there for a few days. I see one person I know who moved there. Just randomly I run into him. And then I see Joel McHale, who's an actor here in the States. He's been on TV and movies. He's there filming. I run into him. So it's just random. So I'm thinking in Norway... Did you ever run into the guys from Aha or the what does the fox say guys? Ylvis? Did you ever?
Oh yeah, Ylvis. Yeah, I used to study in the city they're from, the Ylvis brothers. No, I haven't bumped into any of those. Although my mum and dad, when they went walking in the forest, they bumped into the Prime Minister once.
Well, there you go. So wow. Somebody ran into Hillary Clinton in the forest. That happened here after the election in New York. She was out in the woods. Saturday Night Live turned it into a whole bit. They did a little comedy on it. To just show you, it's not that random to... They ran into the Prime Minister out in the woods. It's not that random.
Yeah. He was out for a jog. The former Prime Minister, he was out for a jog and then...
Did they literally run into him? Like, he ran into him while he was jogging? Or was like, oh, he's out.
No, I think they just passed him and then they started talking because it was like, oh, the Prime Minister, and he's very friendly, and my parents are quite friendly, so.
So before you take off, you have a lead role. I was doing some research on you, and we actually do some research around here, despite what people say. But doing some research, I found a really interesting trailer for a film you worked on, a feature length.
Yeah.
This Is Not Happening. Is there a place we could find that? Because I would really like to watch this.
It's not online at the moment.
Yeah.
But it had like a premiere at selected cinemas in London and other places in the UK. So, and I think it entered some festivals in the States as well. So yeah, it's a nice little film. It was the first film I ever did. That was the film that sort of got me
really
wrote.
So that was the one.
Yeah, we did like a short film just for fun first, but that was the film he asked me about, and that was the thing that sort of put me on a different path.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you're talking about you're hoping to come back to the States, you're going to do some Comic-Con stuff, possibly. It sounds like that's on the horizon.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully with Comic-Cons, I might drop by the States, and it would also be great to sort of start working more in the States. I have some contacts and I might do a short film soon in California, trying to get over there as soon as I can.
Is there anything that you finished or that you already know is kind of coming up that you're excited about that you might want to kind of give us a little insight on?
Yeah. Well, There's a film that I did last summer where I play the female lead, and it's coming out hopefully May, June time this year. It's just an independent feature, but it's a really interesting story. It's sort of a thriller, drama, romance, a bit like Gone Girl, I guess.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
In terms of the atmosphere or like the topic. Yeah, so I'm really excited to see that finished. It's called Hippopotamus.
Oh, interesting name, yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm going to play the female lead in a Brazilian feature film later this year, early next year, to be shot in the Netherlands, which I'm really excited about. Yeah. So, like, half of the film is set in Brazil, and half of the film is set in the Netherlands. And it's sort of about the pursuit of happiness in different cultures and hyper-modernity and, about these two very different people who crossed over at one point. So I'm really looking forward to be part of that.
It's one of the things, too, kind of Brazil and Norway have in common is they both have that very kind of free spirit, kind of that sort of a happy culture. I was thinking about when we were doing research, just what would be some really good roles for Ingvild, like some stuff that I'd like to see you guys. And I was thinking, okay, they're England, I think they're still shooting Black Mirror. And I was like, I'd love to see you do an episode of Black Mirror. I'm just going to put that. I'm putting that out there right now to the universe.
That would be amazing. I like Black Mirror. Yeah. Some of the episodes, especially, are really, really makes you think.
Really intense. And some of them, like I watched the one about the people that were leaping in time in that kind of virtual reality. Mm-hmm. And
the San Junipero one.
Yes. And I was like, that could have been a feature film. That was the content there. The writing was a feature film, good enough for a feature film on its own, a standalone. So I'd like to see that. I'd also like to see you do some comedy at some point.
Oh, yeah. I've done two comedies, one in Germany and one in the UK, which are still in post-production. But I love doing comedy, and I'm part of a comedy improv troupe. Mm-hmm. So, I would definitely love to do a comedy series. That would be so much fun.
Yeah, and of course, you're in the UK now, which is very well known for its history and comedy. So I think you're in a good place for that to fall on your lap to happen.
What about something like a Game of Thrones or something like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, it would be amazing. I would love to be in Game of Thrones.
Okay, casting people, if you're listening, we got these ideas. We're putting them out. We've actually brainstormed ideas on the show, and it's amazing how things in the universe sort of people come up with the same ideas at the same time.
Yeah.
I've pitched like just pilot ideas that were sort of like kind of a half joke, half serious. And then I would like a week later, I'd be reading in the newspaper that it's actually going to production.
Yeah. So you sort of tapped into the zeitgeist.
Yep.
Yeah. I think it happens sometimes. Hey, we want to thank Ingvild Dahlia. And am I saying that still right?
Yeah, you're doing quite good, I think.
keep practicing it more. Before the show, it was Ingvild Dahlia. We want to thank you. It was such a great pleasure to have you on our show in the Thunderpop Dome. And we see some big things coming up for you in the future. And, of course, already big things in the recent past. Playing the young Princess Leia is a pretty big...
Yeah.
Hey, we want to thank Ingvild Dahlia. It's such a pleasure. I know we went a little over time, too, so I thank you for...
No worries. Thank you for having me. It was great talking to you guys.
Oh, it was great talking to you as well. Hey, thank you, Ingvild.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye. That's cool, man.
That was.
Ingvild Dahlia.
Across the pond.
Across the pond. You know, busy girl, and she was able to take some time and talk to our little show.
Most definitely. Very personable and good sport about everything.
Yeah.
Obviously why people there are very happy. They're happy people.
I wanted to research her place where she was from, Norway. And so I started doing research. And every time I look places like Norway, I look at the pictures, you just want to pack up and move there.
It's
like this beautiful country. And you see people, and they wear I was looking at some pictures where people were like in these great costumes, like standing on a mountain. And you immediately just want to be transported to that place. Not unlike Star Wars with Luke Skywalker, kind of in a...
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, like, you have all this space, and it's something we don't get much of anymore.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you might do that for a while, then you're like, I'm ready to get around people again.
Right.
But yeah, I would just run through the woods a lot, and eventually I would run into someone.
Exactly. Eventually you're going to run into somebody.
I would run into somebody, you know, pretty cool from Norway. The Aha guy, or Hjelvis, or... I knew it. I was like, I'm going to ask her about Hjelvis.
Yeah.
What does the fox say, guys? If we ever get her back, I want to hear some inside baseball about does the fox say, guys. Does the fox say? Oh, man. I'm DJ, so and when that song comes out, and I'm having to play that for, like, 6 months at weddings.
Oh, yeah.
And kids running around my table doing the sound effects and stuff. Yeah. All right, we'll be right back. We're pretty excited. We had a lot of fun talking to Ingvild. We'll be right back on this 36th episode of the Thunderpop Podcast. Kind of in a...
Yeah, and now all of a sudden, like, you have all this space. Mm-hmm. And it's something we don't get much of anymore.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you might do that for a while, then you're like, I'm ready to get around people again.
Right.
But yeah, I would just run through the woods a lot, and eventually I would run into someone.
Exactly. Eventually you're going to run into somebody.
I would run into somebody, you know, pretty cool from Norway. The Aha guy, or Hjelvis, or... I knew it. I was like, I'm going to ask her about Hjelvis.
Yeah.
What does the fox say, guys? If we ever get her back, I want to hear some inside baseball about does the fox say, guys. Does the fox say? Oh, man. I'm DJ, so when that song comes out, and I'm having to play that for, like, 6 months at weddings.
Oh, yeah.
And kids running around my table doing the sound effects and stuff. Yeah. All right, we'll be right back. We're pretty excited. We had a lot of fun talking to Ingvild. We'll be right back on this 36th episode of the Thunderpop Podcast.